my mind on you, and everywhere I turn is a reminder. Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, an intimate local Christian church with worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Thanks for listening to this Bible lesson. Well, if you haven't gotten it yet, believe. The newest pamphlet from Barah Ministries is on the website under the Publications tab. You can download it and send it to your friends, and we have physical copies here at Barah Ministries in Mesa, Arizona. Today's Bible lesson, how you use your freedom matters to the Lord. How you use your freedom matters to the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this: it was for freedom that Christ set us believers in Christ free. Therefore, keep on standing fast in the freedom and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. As Christians, we have freedom. Some call it liberty, because we have been liberated from slavery to many things, including sin, by the Lord Jesus Christ. So now that we are free, should we use our freedom to hurt each other? In today's lesson, you'll get God's viewpoint on that as we complete our study of Romans chapter 14. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for caring enough about us to teach us how to treat each other. Thank you for having us in mind personally every minute of the day. Thank you for your logistical grace, your promise to care for all our needs. Thank you for your Word as the cure for worry, fear, and anxiety. Better than any medicine. As you teach us today, let the lessons sink deeply within our souls through the guidance of God, the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all the truth. And let us remember to have confidence in your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through whom we can do all things. Help us to use his power in everything we do. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, how you use your freedom matters to the Lord. How you use your freedom matters to the Lord. So we continue our study of Romans chapter 14. And since the first and second passages of this chapter are intimately connected, let me remind you of the first passage that we studied last week. How does God want Christians to treat each other? Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. It says, now accept the one who is weak in faith. Acceptance is what God expects from us. Acceptance of ourselves, acceptance of him, acceptance of each other. But it says specifically here, now accept the one who is weak in faith. That is the believer in Christ who is new to the faith. But not for the purpose of passing judgment on his viewpoint concerning things. Romans 14, 2. One person has faith that he may eat anything. We call them the strong. But the one who is weak eats vegetables only. Couldn't agree more. Vegans? Nada. Romans 14, 3. The one who eats, the strong, is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, the weak. Contempt is the Greek word krino, and we'll hear more about that in a bit. And the one who does not eat, the weak, is not to judge the one who eats, the strong. For God has accepted both of them. Romans 14:4. Who are you to keep on judging the servant of another? To his own master a servant stands or falls, and the servant will be made to stand by God, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Romans 14:5. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind that he is doing what God would want him to do. Romans 14:6. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not is for the Lord he does not eat, and he gives thanks to God as well. Romans 14:7. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. Romans 14:8. For if we believers in Christ live, and we do, we live for the Lord. And if we die, and we do, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's possession. Romans 14:9. For to this end, Christ died and lived again. He was resurrected from the dead, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. Romans 14:10. So why do you crino your brother? Why do you judge your brother? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? Again, that's crino. For we will all stand before the Bema Seat judgment of God. Romans 14:11. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God the Father. Romans 14:12. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. So that was the first passage we studied last week. And now we blend right into the second passage of Romans chapter 14. So let's continue that study by looking at the second passage. Here's what it says. Romans chapter 14, verses 13 to 23. Therefore, all these things from verses 1 to 12 being true, let us not judge one another anymore. Rather, let's determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Romans 14, 14. I, Paul, know, and I am convinced in union with the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Romans 14:15. For if because of food your brother is hurt, and he is, you are no longer walking according to unconditional love when you hurt your brother that way. Do not destroy with food your brother for whom Christ died. Romans 14:16. Therefore, do not let what is a good thing for you be spoken of as evil. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not just eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace and joy in God the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:18. For he who serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God the Father and is approved by men. Romans 14:9. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and for the building up of one another. Couldn't be anything more important than building each other up. Romans 14:20. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. Romans 14:21. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Romans 14:22. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Romans 14:23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Well, in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 12, we learned a few things about what was going on in first century Rome. There was a mixed bag of people coming to Christianity. Some were rich, and by that I mean some were worshiping their wealth and thought that wealth was their God. We have a lot of those people today. Some were poor, and by the way, the people who are worshiping wealth think they don't need anything because they can buy anything that the world has to offer, but those things are not eternal. Some were poor. You know, one of the things we see in our current life is poor people always complaining about being poor, as if there's nothing they can do about it, that it's a fate that they have to settle for. And it isn't a fate they have to settle for, and we know that political parties aren't going to make them wealthy. Political parties actually want to keep them where they are or lower their standard of living. Some came from cults. They had a charismatic person at the head of it. You know, a guy like David Koresh from Waco, Texas. And they followed him, even though much of what he said might have been absolute lunacy, people still followed him. Some came from being broiled in idolatry. You know, one of my favorite TV shows is The Amazing Race. And in this season, the first stop they made was at the Buddha statue in Hong Kong. That's idolatry. You know, if you go all throughout Asia, you will see idolatry is rampant there. Some were former pagans. What's a pagan? Those are people who engage in various spiritualities. And you hear that all the time. And honestly, it makes me sick in my stomach when people start talking about that. You know, I asked a friend of mine recently, how do you get to heaven? And he said, well, you know, I'm the kind of person, I'm more spiritual. What does that even mean? But you hear people saying that stuff all the time. And by the way, when you hear that as a believer in Christ, do you ever challenge it? Do you ever ask them, okay, so you're spiritual. As a spiritual person, how are you going to get to heaven when you close your eyes in this life? And start firing the five Bible verses at them. Because the Bible says, Acts 16:31, John 3:36, John 14:6, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. What do you think about that? Some had been polytheistic. That was one of my favorite courses in both in high school and college, is to study the gods, Zeus and Mars and Mercury and Apollo and Venus. I was absolutely fascinated by the study of the Greek gods and the Roman gods. But it's polytheism, and none of them connect to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the people in first century Rome were monotheistic. That was the Jews. They thought there was only one God. That's what mono is. Some were criminals. Isn't it funny that you probably find more believers in Christ in prison than you do walking the streets every day? Some were prostitutes, selling their bodies. Some were Stoics, and those are people who used rationalism and logic to live their lives. Some were the scum of the earth, the bottom of the barrel, the dregs of humanity. They were tax collectors. Amen? Amen? April's a couple weeks away. They like Deion Sanders say, we coming. Tax collectors say, we coming too. So anyway, in first century Rome, people from all of these groups now were new believers in Christ, and the Apostle Paul was writing to them. So in the first passage of Romans chapter 14, Paul describes people as strong and weak. And unfortunately, each group was looking down on the other. The krino is the Greek word. Now, what did he mean by strong in Greek? He meant strong and weak. He meant some people were advanced in Christianity and some weren't. But the two groups we're looking down on each other. Krino is a Greek word that means to separate, to regard with contempt, to devalue. That's not Christianity. And God is not interested in us treating each other this way, yet there are so many people who claim to be Christians who are always looking down their nose at people for whatever the reason. Oh, you didn't dress right when you came to church. Oh, can you believe this person did that? Oh, can you believe this person did that? I'm offended. Okay. So, who really cares? Because that's not the issue. The issue is, how do you get to heaven? That's the issue. The issue is, do you, when you're interacting with other people, contribute to them thinking about what it takes to get to heaven, or are they thinking about what a jerk you are? Well, we learned in the first passage that there are explicit things that the Bible has that leave no room for interpretation. We know you shall not steal. We know you shall not cheat on your tax return. Amen? I don't believe you heard me. So I'm going to say it again. Do not cheat on your tax return. Or you shall not have premarital sex. These are among the explicit commands from God. We learned also in Romans chapter 14, first passage, that there are implicit things in the Bible that leave room for private interpretation. Is it okay to celebrate Halloween? Is it okay to go to R-rated movies? Is it okay to eat meat in front of a vegan? Is it okay to eat pork in front of an Orthodox Jew? Is it okay to watch Naked Dating UK on Paramount Plus? You know, there are just no words for where we have gone mentally as a culture. But in implicit matters, God counts on us to use wisdom and discernment to make our decisions. An interesting implicit idea from the Bible asks, are babies who die shortly after childbirth saved? Al Gleason and I were talking about this week, and it was a really interesting thing. So there is an implicit rather than dogmatic indication this is true. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, where King David says, now that my child with Bathsheba has died, why should I continue to fast? When the child was born, the child was sick, and David was fasting and praying and hoping that the child would live, but he didn't. So David says, now that my child with Bathsheba has died, why should I continue to fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him in heaven, but he will not return to me from heaven. All right, so that's implicit. That's not dogmatic, and it's also true. And why do we know it's true? Because if we understand the Lord, which a lot of Christians don't, a lot of people who call themselves Christians don't really understand who the God is that they worship and what he thinks and what he's like. One of the things that's just routine that they don't understand is unconditional love. They don't understand the un part. That God has no conditions for us. So if we understand the Lord, we know that he's always fair. We know that he is perfectly just in every single circumstance. And it is implicit that he would not allow those who are unable to make a decision for or against Christ to go to the lake of fire. Welcome, Vita. Evidently, you didn't get the memo that we're starting a half an hour early. Yeah, we did. I was asking, where the hell is she this week? We sent about 600 emails this week. About 600. Yeah, 8:30, hey! No problem, welcome. So it's implicit that God is so fair that he wouldn't allow anyone who's unable to make a decision for or against Christ to go to the lake of fire. You think about kids with Down syndrome. You think about kids with autism. And, you know, I don't know enough medically to know if they're capable of making a decision for or against Christ, but I know if they aren't, that's good for them, because our fair God will be welcoming them into heaven. All right, well, when we return from the break, we'll take the offering, and then we'll study the second and final passage of Romans chapter 14, verse by verse. Take a 5-minute break.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Down in history.
As another blood-bought, faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever wanna be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Just a nobody,
nobody
trying to tell everybody all about somebody.
Ooh.
Who saved my soul.
Save my soul.
Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing.
Song to sing.
I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, how you use your freedom matters to the Lord. How you use your freedom matters to the Lord. Well, giving is the Lord's specialty. God the Father gave his only Son to save us. The Lord Jesus Christ gives all his creatures the opportunity for salvation by dying on a cross and being resurrected from the dead. God the Holy Spirit gives us direction in the spiritual life by leading us into all the truth. The Bible clearly states throughout its pages that Christians are called to give generously. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, the first fruits. When you pick the produce, give the first barrel to the Lord, not what you have left over at the end. So honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That's what God does for you when you give. He gives you even more to give. It's wise to imitate the Lord and to make giving your specialty as well, especially to your favorite church, which, by the way, is Barah Ministries. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Especially because you know that God gives back to you much more than you give to us. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with one of his always inspiring offering messages.
Good morning. My name's Denny Goodall, and I'm blessed to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, and I'm blessed to be back in the pulpit. Thank you, Pastor, for last week. I appreciate the time off, and I appreciate the kind words. I want something I've learned through the study of the Word of God and being part of Barah Ministries is that the offering and giving at church is about grace and not about guilt. It's about an opportunity and not about an obligation. It's something that we should cherish, and it's a really good thing to have. But as we see most of the times, when we're going to talk about something in offering, it makes people squirm in their seats. But don't worry, I'm not here to give a guilt trip to anyone. Instead, let's look at how giving is a reflection of unity, holiness, and believe it or not, even a little bit of humor. We see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So peace is something that we can create unity with all for one and one for all. Hebrews 12:14 tells us, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. That includes our church family, our neighbors, and even that minivan that cuts you off in traffic. When we give, we aren't just funding programs. We're building a place where people feel welcomed, they feel loved, and part of something bigger than themselves. Our offering isn't just about dollars and cents, it's about unity. When we all contribute, we all take ownership of what God's doing. It's like a potluck. When everyone brings something, nobody leaves hungry. And giving really reflects holiness. Yes, even that person that cuts you off in traffic. The verse reminds us to be holy, and holiness isn't just about what we do or what we don't do, it's about what we actually do. Giving is an act of faith, trusting that God provides, even when your budget says, are you sure about this? Ever notice how we can justify spending $5 on a cup of coffee without hesitation, but hesitate when it's time to give at the offering? Don't worry, no judgment. God sees your Starbucks receipt, and he loves you still. Holiness isn't just about looking good in church. It's about living with a generous heart, knowing that our giving reflects our love for God and others. And giving helps others see the Lord, even more than the church sign does. The last part of the verse reminds us that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. When we give, we make it possible for others to experience God's love through outreach, through missions, through June's music, even the simple act of keeping the lights on so people can find their way in. Our generosity is one of the biggest witnesses to the world. When people see our generous church, they see a generous God. And let's be honest, when we all give together, it makes miracles happen. Imagine if Jesus only had one loaf and had a fish. Thankfully, he multiplies that what we offer and everything we offer. So let's give joyfully, knowing our offering isn't just about money. It's about unity, holiness, and making sure the world sees Jesus in us and this church. And if you're still hesitant, just think of it this way. If you can trust the drive-through to get your order right, surely you can trust God with your finances. So God bless you all, and may your wallets be light, but your hearts full.
Thank you.
back. Today's Bible lesson, how you use your freedom matters to the Lord. How you use your freedom matters to the Lord. Well, let's study the second passage of Romans chapter 14, verse by verse, beginning at verse 13. And boy, by the way, that offering was pretty long, huh? So Deacon Denny's message was so profound that people just were digging so deep in their pockets that they were giving everything they had. All right, let's study Romans chapter 14, verse by verse, beginning at verse 13. It says, therefore, let us not keep on judging and condemning one another. What a great idea. What a great idea for marriage. Stop criticizing your spouse. You picked them. Therefore, let us not keep on judging and condemning one another. Rather, let's determine this. Not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block, something another trips over, in a brother's way. So what does that mean? It means that God wants us to treat each other well. And when we differ with a fellow Christian, he wants us to act in love, unconditional love, and not just with Christians, with everyone. So what does that mean exactly? How do you know that you're acting in unconditional love? Well, you're not being judgmental. You're not thinking, God, you're so stupid. Why do you think that when what I think is the thing? And that's what we do all the time. We're all the time thinking that the way other people are thinking is off base and the way we're thinking is not. And it's just not true. For example, we don't drink in front of an alcoholic. And we don't drink in front of an alcoholic even if they're sober. I had a friend who was alcoholic, and I was drinking in front of him all the time when we would go out to lunch or dinner, and then I just started to think about it as I studied the Word of God, and I just started to think, you know, that's kind of cruel, because he's made the choice, and he was sober for 18 years. He has made the choice not to drink, but I'm drinking in front of him. So I asked him if it bothers him, and he says, no, but in spite of that, I shouldn't have done it. Now, one of the things that bugged me about him is that when we would go out to lunch and it was my turn to pay, he would order Perrier, and, you know, typically when you go out, Perrier is $10. You know, a bottle of water is $10, and I would get mad. I would think, God, can't you just, can you get some fizzies and then go to the water fountain and just drop a fizzy tab, is like 10 cents, drop that in a water. But the truth of the matter is, we have to understand that. Because that was his cocktail. And so if we're accepting our brother where he is, then we're good with it. Amen? Amen. And sometimes we just don't get it in that regard. When someone's being what legalists call worldly instead of godly, we suspend judgment. Look, we see people making mistakes all the time. So what are we going to do? We're going to realize that that's where they are in their journey. We realize that we've made a lot of mistakes in the journey, and we just suspend judgment. We don't force our personal opinions on others, whether they are strong, which is mature, or weak, which is babes in Christ. Also, we remember how things look matters. This was a lesson that it took me forever to learn. How things look matters. Our conduct based on our position matters. A pastor in public who is swearing. There's nothing wrong with using expletives. But I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, you're a pastor and you swear? What were they really saying? They were really saying how things look matters. Now, they were also being jerks. They were being judgmental jerks. And they were putting me on a pedestal that I did not want to be on, nor do I deserve to be on. But it took me a long time to realize, you know what? It's not going to hurt me to save my expletives for the times when I'm around people who aren't bothered by it. And if somebody's bothered by it, then we're putting a stumbling block in the way of our brother. We're They're saying, well, if swearing is what it means to be a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. That's not what we're after. Romans chapter 14, verse 14. I, Paul, know, as one of who is strong in faith, and I am convinced in union with the Lord Jesus, that no food nor any other thing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, as the weak in faith ones do, to him it is unclean. We respect the viewpoint of others. What is the stronger one's judgment of the weak? Ah, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, you big baby. What is the weaker one's judgment of the strong? How can you call yourself a Christian? You're breaking all the rules. You're wrong for doing that. You're a sinner. You need to repent of your sins. This isn't how God wants us to treat each other. And it's certainly not the way God treats us. Romans chapter 14, verse 15. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to a lifestyle of unconditional love. Do not destroy the one for whom Christ died, either believer or unbeliever, with your food preferences. God wants us to use our liberty for love. In Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 16, the Lord clarified something to Peter about food. He said, here's what it says. It says, on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Acts 10:10, and he became hungry and was desiring to eat. And while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. Acts 10:11, and he saw the sky open up, and he saw an object like a great sheet coming down from the sky, lowered by four corners to the ground. Acts 10:12, and in it there were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. Acts 10:13. And a voice came to him and said, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Acts 10:14. But Peter said, by no means, Lord. Peter was so self-righteous. By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Acts 10:15. Again, a voice came to Peter a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Acts 10:16, this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken back up into the sky. Now, I wish the Lord would do this again, and I wish he would do it at my swimming pool, because my swimming pool is under severe attack by ducks who are trying to turn it into a pond. I just wish the sheet would come down from four color corners, sweep them up, kill them all on the way up to heaven, and then drop them right into hell. Amen? That's exactly right. I need a pool cover. Well, this last passage about from Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 16, what's really going on there? Well, you know, back in the Old Testament, the Jews didn't eat pork. Now, pork has gotten a bad rap. Oh, I don't eat pork. And there's still a lot of people who have that as a philosophy. Oh, I don't eat pork. And I think that in the Muslim culture, that's pretty loud. But the reason that people were discouraged from eating pork in the Old Testament is because they didn't have sanitation methods. And you would get really, really sick eating pork. That is not the case today. Pork, there was an ad campaign. Pork is the new white meat, right? Or the other white meat. Pork is good, and especially bacon. I've got on socks right now that have bacon strips on them. Amen? Because I love bacon. Bacon is awesome. I love ham. So good. Please get me a bacon tie. I want a bacon tie. Romans chapter 14, verse 16. Therefore, don't let what is a good thing for you, you strong in faith ones, to be spoken of as evil by the weak in faith. The weak in faith don't have the truth deep within them yet, and so they'll be looking at you and judging you based on their unbeliever standards. So what is God saying to you? He's saying, don't give Christianity a bad name with insensitive behavior. You can pause your liberty when you're around those who are weak. Sometimes we have to forego Christian liberty. Christian freedom without unconditional love puts a stumbling block and an obstacle in the path of others. And I've done that way too many times in my life. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not merely about eating and drinking, but the kingdom of God is about righteousness in your walk with God, a gift that he gives you at the moment of salvation. It's about peace in your relationship with others, knowing that God has nothing against you, which is what peace means, then you have nothing against anyone else. And it's about joy in yourself, happiness as a journey, not as a destination. You who are in union with God, the Holy Spirit, in pneumati, just like we are in Christo Jesu, we are in union with Christ, we are in pneumati, Greek words. We are in the Spirit. We are not in the flesh. We are in God the Holy Spirit as believers in Christ. So here's the thing. Am I going to hell if I have a tattoo? If that's true, I'm going because I got one. Are we going to hell if we have a body piercing? Don't have one of those. That hurts. Well, actually, I do. I have a... What are those? A Libre 3. That's a piercing. It's a glucose monitor. They shoot it into your arm every 14 days. Am I going to hell if I eat a burger with cheese? And the point there is the Jews think that a burger with cheese isn't kosher. And they have these dietary laws called kosher. Am I going to hell if I celebrate a non-standard holiday like Kwanzaa? Am I going to hell if I don't dress properly for church? There are a lot of Baptists who think so. Am I going to hell if I swim in a co-ed swimming pool? Sure hope not. Am I going to hell if I listen to rock music or rap? Rock music, no. Rap, definitely. The only rap song that has ever been good was The Rapper's Delight. After that, everything went right off the cliff. Am I going to hell if I wear jeans or sneakers? See, who knows? Maybe jeans and sneakers is all people can afford. People show up to church in jeans and sneakers. Oh, I can't believe they're wearing jeans and sneakers. Maybe that's all they have the money for. One of the things, the number one thing people want to know before they come to a church is what the dress code is. Isn't that amazing? They don't want to know if they're going to learn the Word of God. They don't want to know if the pastor's any good. They want to know if they have to dress up. That just crazy. By the way, what is Kwanzaa? For those of you who don't know what Kwanzaa is, it was first celebrated in 1966. It's an annual celebration in the African-American culture, whatever that is. I don't know what that is. From December 26th to January 1st, culminating in a communal feast called Karamu. 21st century estimates place the number of Americans who celebrate Kwanzaa at nearly 2 million. So just in case you didn't know what that was. Christianity is more than a list of rules about what we can eat, what we can drink, and what holidays we celebrate. Christianity is more than I can do this and I can't do that. To be sure, there are do's and don'ts in Christianity. Real ones like sexual immorality and greed and coveting and slandering and lying and gossiping. Unbelievers don't always see Christianity in this perspective because of the religious people who engage in legalism and crino, shoving rules down people's throats. Crino, again, is treating others in a way that devalues them. Unbelievers see Christianity as a straitjacket, and many of them want no part of it because of Christians. Romans chapter 14, verse 18. For he who keeps on serving Christ in this way, displaying righteousness, peace, and joy, is acceptable to God the Father and is approved by men. The Christian way of life is about salvation. Unbeliever to believer. Getting right with God. It's the new birth. We become a new creation. The Christian way of living is about sanctification. Living right with God. Being comfortable in your own skin. And treating others well. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. So then, as believers in Christ, we are to keep on pursuing, literally keep on hunting down the things which make for peace and the things that lead to the building up of one another, mutual edification. Think about it. When's the last time you edified somebody? A buddy of mine was telling me about a guy he worked for. And the guy he worked for, all he ever did was talk about the mistakes. And this guy worked for a bottling, a soda organization. And he would, you know, he would get new accounts. He would untangle accounts that were tangled. Yet this guy he worked for, all he would ever talk about was what the guy was doing wrong and what all the people were doing wrong. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with corrective feedback. When you're off the road, you need corrective feedback to get on the road. But what about encouraging feedback when you're on the road? What about catching people doing something right and telling them about it? And this guy didn't know how to do that. Edification. You never know what kind word is going to keep somebody from committing suicide. God wants us to bend over backward for others. Romans chapter 14, verse 20. So don't tear down the work of God the Father for the sake of food and celebration days. All things indeed are clean for the strong in faith, but they are evil for the man who eats and takes offense at those things, and that typically happens with the weak in faith because they don't have enough of the Word of God in them to start thinking that there's some things that don't matter. So the instruction is this: don't ruin what God is trying to accomplish in the church for the sake of your personal preferences. Don't cause others to stumble. You know, I was working down in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and one of my clients, you know, I was swearing. I love swearing. I don't think there's anything more fun than that. I am so ghetto. By the way, speaking of ghetto, George Foreman died, and that really broke my heart. He was a tremendous human being. So this client said, "What kind of pastor swears?" And I started swearing even more under my breath. But what I told them is the kind of pastor that swears is a real, not phony one. But that wasn't really true based on what Romans chapter 14 is saying, because it's telling me don't cause people like him to stumble who are all freaked out about language. I was on a flight once. And I had my Northwestern gear on, and I said, "Damn it," or something like that. And a guy says, "Is that what they teach you at Northwestern? Do they teach you to swear?" And I said, "No, actually, they taught me to hate people who like you who are judgmental." Right? That's not the way to do it. That's not really the way to do it. Felt good at the time, but that's not the way to do it. When people are neurotic, you have to accommodate it. And, you know, in this regard, we need to stop bagging on mega churches and pastors we don't like. All right, that's where people are in their spiritual journey. And if that's where they are in their spiritual journey, maybe at a point they'll be at a different place. Maybe they'll realize that being at a mega church a lot of times is a concert and announcements and building funds and all that stuff with not much of the Word of God, and they'll get sick of that and realize that a band and announcements and offering collections and building funds don't help you when you're all by yourself in a hospital room in Germany about to have surgery and you're wondering if you're going to die. But Jesus is there with you, and the Word of God sustains you and calms you in those circumstances. Amen? Romans chapter 14, verse 21. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. Don't cause people to stumble. Don't put spiritual obstacles in people's way. Romans 14, 22. The faith which you who are the strong in faith have it as your own conviction before God. Because happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Romans 14, 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith in God is a sin. God wants us to listen to our conscience, that part of us that has the ability to determine right from wrong, which clicks in at about 2 years old. If it bothers you, don't do it. So what are the conclusions of this entire chapter, Romans 14? One is, in matters that aren't explicit in the Bible, implicit things, make up your own mind using the truth God has placed in your soul as wisdom and discernment. Live and let live. Keep your personal opinions between you and God. Stop the crino. Don't look down your nose with contempt for other people. Crino, again, is a Greek word that means to separate, to look down on, to regard with contempt, to devalue. Don't devalue people. Don't impose your freedom on others. Maintain the peace. Act with unconditional love toward others, which may mean suspending your liberty for a short period of time. And then finally, don't ask, why must I curtail my freedom for others? Freedom isn't as important as unconditional love. So ask, how does my behavior impact another Christian? How does my behavior impact an unbeliever? It's either helpful or it's a hindrance. Don't cause other people to stumble. That's the point. Closing prayer, let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for this valuable lesson on using our freedom. If we are to use our freedom for anything, encourage us to use it to spread the gospel message to unbelievers and to welcome believers in Christ to a place where the Word of God is being taught. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Say it with me. Amen. The announcements, make it a habit to listen to them. They're posted separately. Keep current on the things going on and coming up in Barah Ministries. Discussing the lesson and prayer circle is canceled for today. We'll resume next week. We started earlier because I have a flight that's early today, and I couldn't get another one. Got biblical questions? Ask the pastor. Pastor at BarahMinistries.com. Want us to pray for someone? Send your request to pastor at BarahMinistries.com. Keep on studying the Word of God daily. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.